This is Classic Business on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Welcome back to Classic 1027. Joining me now is David Hurwitz. He's the CEO of Transaction Capital, to look a little closer at their annual results. David, thank you for joining us this evening. What is your first take on the results?
Thank you for having me on the show. Yeah. We're extremely pleased with our results this year. We've got growth in a very difficult market, growth sitting in, you know, high double-figure percentages, 18% growth in headline earnings, 22% growth in dividends, with, you know, dividends growing faster than earnings is always a good signal because it means the business is generating good cash flow. And both of our divisions grew nicely. SA Taxi grew at 21%. TCRS grew at 15%. That was ahead of consensus. So all in all, we are really pleased.
David, maybe just for those listeners who don't understand the Transaction Capital business, or might have just, this is the first time around they're hearing of this business, potentially just take us through what the business does in its different sectors.
Okay, great. So really, we are a two-divisional business. We've been invested in our divisions now for almost two decades. So whilst we've only been listed for about 7.5 years, you know, we've run and owned these businesses for long periods of time. If you take a look at our first division, that is SA Taxi, which is a vertically integrated minibus taxi service provider. We do everything from financing minibus taxis to insuring minibus taxis. We both sell minibus taxis, both new and pre-owned. We also have a huge refurbishment facility which repairs minibus taxis, which we use in our insurance and in our finance business. And then we also have two other divisions where we procure parts and sell both new and refurbished parts to the minibus taxi industry, as well as running various rewards programs. So it is very vertically integrated. This vertically integrated model allows us, first of all, to earn margin through every area of the value chain in the minibus taxi industry, but it also allows us to manage our risk and, of course, to provide our customers with a really wholesome and good value proposition. On the other side of our business, this is called TCRS, Transaction Capital Risk Services. There we are a global player where we the main part of our business is to collect on outstanding amounts owed to consumer-facing businesses. Either we'll do this on a dual model. We'll do this on a dual model, either in the form of a contingency fee, where we'll earn a fee contingent on the amount that we collect, or else we'll buy these non-performing loans and collect on them at above the purchase price that we pay as a principal. So we do that mainly in South Africa, but also in Australia, where we've been active for about 3 years now and are doing particularly well, and have started making a few very small investments into European non-performing loan portfolios as well.
So just to recap those numbers again, and this is what David was speaking about just now. Core headline earnings increased by 18%, with SA Taxi, which is up 21%, and Transaction Capital Risk Services, which increased by 15%. David, let's start looking by SA Taxi. I see you've from February forward, you've now got a 25% shareholder in the form of Santaco. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Santaco is the government-recognized body representing the minibus taxi industry. They have about 225,000 members who are taxi operators. That's about a 90% penetration of the minibus taxi industry. And we think that this is a really groundbreaking transaction where we have our industry being a shareholder in the business. Santaco is involved intricately in our business at a very high level and strategic level. They have directors sitting on our board, but more importantly, they've helped us to design product and to distribute product into the minibus taxi industry. So by way of example, they've helped us design a loan product which is targeted at very good credit quality minibus taxi operators, where our cost of interest to that operator is lower. They've helped us to design or build a broker network that helps us to distribute and sell insurance products into the minibus taxi industry. So, you know, this isn't only about having an industry participant being a shareholder or having a black shareholder from a BEE perspective. It's really about having the industry help us to deliver better products into the sector that we serve.
The dividends that they earn, I see in the results publication that got put out today, that they've earned obviously a small nominal dividend this time round, but they used most of that proceeds into road safety type of projects. Going forward, I mean, can they spend the dividend on anything that they wish to, or are there specific projects or things that they have to spend their dividends on?
No, there are requirements for what dividends need to be invested into. I mean, first of all, Fintarco needed to take debt to acquire the stake in SA Taxi. They bought the stake for $1.7 billion. And this was funded in the main by Standard Bank and Future Growth, which is part of Old Mutual. We, as SA Taxi, also funded them to the tune of about 500 million rand. So most of the dividend goes back to repaying Standard Bank and Old Mutual. Thereafter, what we have is we have a committee which assesses what excess, or what we call the trickle dividend, what the trickle dividend can be invested into. So certain projects would be put forward by Fintarco, and that trickle dividend would then need to go into the industry for the benefit of the industry. The first trickle dividend was paid in June, and we Fintarco put forward a road safety initiative that the dividend was invested into together with the South African government.
The risk services business is about really extending credit, or alternatively purchasing non-performing loan portfolios, and then obviously, you know, collecting on those. The South African environment is obviously, as you know, hugely constrained. How does that affect that business?
So it's a positive and a negative. Most people get it wrong, and they would say when the environment is strained, you know, that a business like ours would do really well because there's lots of poor performing debt to collect on. But in truth, we normally do better in a positive environment. And the reason why we do better in a positive environment is that our clients, who would be the large consumer-facing businesses like banks or retailers or specialist lenders or the telcos, typically would originate clients and loans, you know, more aggressively. And that means that our market grows and gives us, you know, more debt to collect on. And in addition, it's often easier to collect debt, you know, in good times when consumers are under less pressure. In the current environment, as you've pointed out, consumers are under huge amounts of pressure. It's driven by high levels of household debt to income. It's driven by things like unemployment being at 29% or youth unemployment being at 58%. It's driven by things like inflation, even though at a low rate, still exceeding wage growth. So consumers are under pressure in this environment, which makes it hard to collect. But what we do see is that in this type of an environment, clients like to sell their debt or their non-performing debt because, you know, the risk is high of holding non-performing loans. So what we see in this environment is our agency collection business, you know, doesn't grow as well as it would in a positive environment. But from a book buying perspective, there are lots of books to buy. And of course, we can price the environment and the purchase price of the book. So if we were to buy a book 4 years ago for, say, 12 cents in the rand, today we might only be able to pay 10 cents in the rand, and this will allow us still to earn a similar margin.
In Australia, you follow a similar type of business where you extend credits and obviously, I'm assuming, trying to purchase non-performing loan portfolios. I was quite surprised when I looked at how indebted Australians really are. You mentioned a figure of household debt to disposable income in Australia running in the order of about 190%. That seems very, very large.
Yes, so what we see in Australia is there are some similarities to the South African market context, but also some differences. So the similarities would be that the Australian debtor is highly leveraged, which you've pointed out. But the differences is that in Australia, there's a high employment rate, so the Australian consumer is pretty much employed. And the other thing that we see is that in Australia, the ability to contact and to transact with a debtor electrically or digitally is very high, which allows us to collect in quite a low touch and low cost mechanism. So you know, we do see some differences in that Australian market. We've been there now for this is our fourth year of operation in Australia. We're doing really well. We made a small investment into Australia, but we've taken our South African proven technologies and deployed that into our Australian business. We've built a nice database in Australia over the last 3 to 4 year period, and that business is growing really nicely.
Well, that was David Herberts. He's the CEO of Transaction Capital, taking us through the annual results, which were released today. This is Classic 102.7.